Chapter 7. There was music, hollering, and tale-telling inside, and I liked that. Mostly men of questionable pedigree, long gazes, and hard faces. The smell of roasted pheasant filled the air, and I was ready to eat. Renoir pushed his way past me and saddled up to the bar.
You got dwarfen ale?
He asked a tall man, bald and wearing a black apron. I took a seat alongside him, paying no attention to the stares glaring on my back. This city was used to travelers of all sorts coming and going all times of the night, but this place was one of those that kept close to their own.
The same for me, and two full pheasants, not charred either.
The two coins that I plunked on the table widened the barkeep's restless eyes.
And your undivided attention when I ask.
The barkeep slipped away, a small woman appearing moments later with two tankards of frothing ale as big as her head. Renoir gulped his down in several large swallows, let out a tremendous belch and looked at me.
You can have mine,
I said, turning my attention away from the bar and towards all the people inside. Two men, one a bald giant, another part orc, each laden in muscle, arm wrestled over the wiles of a dainty girl with the look of trouble in her eye. A group of coarse men and women sat at a long table near the stone fireplace in the back. The adventuring sort, somewhat like me. Some of them casting nervous glances over their shoulders. An elven man wearing light purple garb and long pale green hair sulked in the corner and played a black lute of many strings for a small group of swooning women. His music was wonderful and strong. All in all, the tavern, a roomy little hole, was nothing compared to so many other taverns that tended to be much larger and more occupied. Still, it offered what I'd been looking for. Trouble. Three orcs sat in the back, beady eyes glancing my way and back. Another man, long and gaunt, sat huddled in the corner, fingering a blade, his tongue licking his lips as he gazed at me like some kind of meal. At one end of the bar was a fair-haired woman, a long sword strapped on her full hips, her tongue as coarse as the hulking man she accompanied, the one who had sneered at me earlier. I wasn't so sure they presented the kind of people I was looking for, but they were trouble. The kind that conspire and thieve, rob graveyards, fight fiends and ghouls for gold, kidnap women, sell children, and don't look back on their deeds with regret. Of course, my father would tell me not to be so judgmental, but I could detect evil, and it hung as heavy as a wet blanket in here. But did they trifle with dragons? That was what I was here to find out. Renoir's elbow rocked me in the ribs.
Time to eat,
he said. Two steaming hot pheasants greeted my senses with a delightful aroma. One thing you could say about these run-down taverns with disreputable ilk, they tended to have tasty food. My stomach rumbled and my mouth watered. I hadn't realized how hungry I was till I started eating, tearing off big hunks at a time. Renoir grunted, almost smiled, trying to keep the juicy bird meat out of his beard.
Say,
I said to the barkeep, shoving a gold coin his way.
I'm in need of some dragon accessories.
The man glared at me and said,
I don't know a thing about that, and it's best you take your business elsewhere.
He shoved the coin back. I shoved it back, saying,
Beg your pardon, sir, and a bottle of wine will do.
He hesitated, took the coin, and pulled a bottle down from the top shelf, setting it down and pointing to the door.
Once it's gone, you're gone.
His eyes grazed the pommel of my sword on my back.
No dragon talk in my place.
Cripes,
Renoir said, wiping his mouth on his sleeve.
Why don't you just scare off every dragon poacher in town? Why don't you go ask for some orc accessories as well?
He glared at the orcs, still huddled in the corner, grunting with dissatisfaction over something. I slapped him on the shoulder and said,
You eat and drink. I'll do the rest.
As we sat and gorged ourselves on bird meat and wine, I felt the tone in the room shifting. The patrons that sat near us began to fade away elsewhere. Many of the patrons seem to stiffen, some leaving, and more notorious sorts arriving. The men began to bristle and brag, their comments of their exploits designed to catch my ear. Like most bad people, it seemed they didn't like me. Despite my rugged armor and attempt to blend in, I looked more than formidable. So far as I could tell, I was the tallest man in the room, my shoulders, arms, and chest as knotted and broad as the rest. What they hadn't noticed about me before, they had noticed now. But I hadn't come here looking for a fight. Or did I? I tapped the big brute at the end of the bar on the shoulder.
"Do that again and I'll cut off your hand,"
he warned. "No doubt you would try," I said, smiling over at the fair-haired woman with the curious and inviting eyes.
"I'm in need of dragon accessories."
"Get out of here."
He shoved me away. Dragon accessories were a profitable business. A single scale was almost worth a piece of gold. Dragon teeth, scales, skin, claws, and horns, whether they contained magic or not, were highly prized possessions that adorned many wealthy citizens. It was a practice that made me sick, seeing my kind displayed for fashion. Dragons were the same as the other races, but treated like something different. Of course, not all dragons were good, but most people viewed them all as bad. I shoved him back.
"You touch me again, you'll be the one to lose your hands. No one shoves me around."
The fair-haired woman forced her way between us, pushing her angry man friend back with both hands, saying,
"No blood here tonight."
Then she whirled on me, poking her finger in my chest.
"Go and sit down. I don't know what game you're playing, but I'll not stand for any talk of dragons. We fight for gold, not poach."
"I can see that now, but I pay well. Pardon me," I said with a slight bow, retaking my seat.
"That ought to get them going,"
I thought. The man and woman warriors grumbled with each other, then departed. But she gave me one long look over her shoulder as they went. Now, me and Brenoir sat and waited. The barkeep continued to glower at me, but he didn't throw me out as long as we kept paying, and Brenoir was still eating and drinking. So I sat, noted all the scowls, and waited, and waited, and waited. I was a dragon, so waiting wasn't such a bad thing for me. But words travel faster than the wind sometimes. That's when two lizard men wandered in, both taller than me, crocodile green, dressed like men and armored like soldiers. Their yellow eyes attached themselves to me first as they ripped their daggers out and charged.